Oh boy, that is fun. I prefer that you sit, actually. It doesn't matter. Okay, well, I want to welcome everybody again here. You know, obviously you're here, but I'm glad you're here, and I hope you came to be encouraged, because I think God wants to touch areas of our hearts that sometimes are fallow. Excuse me. Hey, Luke, I need to see that clock, so can you do something there? Yeah. Oh, put it on the stage here. There we go. Thank you. I think God wants to speak to us. I think he wants to encourage us every time we come together. So I hope you came to be encouraged, and then I hope you came to participate in the wonders of his love. This is something that we have to share, especially we who have crossed from death to life. So let's pray here at the beginning. God, I thank you. Thank you for this story. Thank you, God. It does not grow old. Our favorite foods don't grow old. How could the story of God becoming man grow old? Oh, I ask you this morning, you'd help us to set aside things that would distract. And what Tim said earlier is true. We still need you. And that last song, so good. We have decided this. We've decided to follow you. We've decided that you are it. You are what we need. You are the Son of God. You are the Savior of the world. We'll leave the rest behind. But then it comes out to practicing those things, and we find it a little more difficult. We find it a little more difficult to leave the rest behind. And so I ask you to help us with that this morning. Bring us truth and bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So during this month of December, we're doing this series called Grinches That Can Steal Your Christmas. And the idea that Christmas can be stolen means that there's value in this review of the God baby, but we can miss it. We can somehow have the elements of it siphoned away and or interrupted somehow, and so it just doesn't penetrate, and sometimes it leaves us worse off rather than better off, and that's a shame. That is a real shame. One of the Grinches that Tim mentioned 2 weeks ago is stress. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. In a physical sense, I had trouble actually finding a dictionary definition of this word the way we use it. Most of the dictionary terminology relates more to a physical sense, where you're building a building or something, and these are the studs, and then you put a floor on it, and then you put another wall on top of that, and there's a stress there. Every member has a little bit of stress, and sometimes it can reach the breaking point. Runners sometimes have what is called a stress fracture, and it happens from hitting the pavement so many times. You know, your foot is able to handle a certain amount of shock, but after a while, it reaches the breaking point. So we understand stress in a physical sense, but of course, we're referring to stress here in a more of a psychological sense. And we could define it this way, as an overload of complicated information that a person tries to register and accept. It's an overload. It's too much. I can't handle it. The shootings would be one of them. How can you handle it? It's going to take a long time to cope with that, to register it. Probably never really accept it, but that's what we speak of in psychological stress. I would say that one of the major Christmas stress contributors deals with expectations. We have expectations of ourselves, and we have expectations of others. You know, we want to give a certain amount and maybe a certain quality, and some of us expect to receive certain things as well. Some people get disappointed when they didn't receive a card from this person, that person. So there are expectations on both sides of the equation. Tim mentioned a couple of weeks ago how much money the average family spends on Christmas, the 2012 numbers are $854. The average family expects to spend $854 on Christmas. They expect it. Oh, maybe if you have an $80,000 income, that's not that big of a stress, but you know what? If you have an $80,000 income, you kind of have a greater expectation. People expect you to give a little bit more, so you never win, okay? There's stress no matter how you look at that. And one of the expectations we can have is even an expectations of what others expect of us. I mean, we make judgments there, and so it just consumes. The point is it can consume our emotions and our time, and we're just not in a mood to be able to review the story of the God baby. So that's where we're at in this season. Another of the stressors Tim pointed out was being busy, just the busyness. If I expect to select, buy, wrap, and deliver presents for so many people, there's a lot of time involved with that. And if I'm going to get it with the program at all, it takes a lot of my time. I don't have time for Christmas, so to speak. Or getting ready even to go someplace, you know, all the decorations or all the food things, maybe some of you slaved for a while to get ready for this morning. That all takes time. And we run out of time to even reflect and learn again or be refreshed or be renewed. I think we could gain humility if we were able to reflect on this freshly. I think we could gain a fresh sense of love if we were able to reflect. But these stressors kind of get in the way sometimes. I'm reminded of, when I think about this, of a comedian named Brian Regan who says he went to the doctor with heartburn. And the doctor sat there and listened to his situation. He brings out this list of foods that tend to give a person heartburn. And Brian looks at him and says, I know all this. I know how to get it. I came here to get rid of it. And that's the way it can be with us. We know the stress. We know it. We've all been in stressful situations. What we want to do this morning is to discuss how to overcome. I really think God has the plan for us to overcome stress. Christmas stress in particular is what we're talking about this morning. So what I want to do is I want to give you three things to consider, three things you can do this Christmas season to overcome stress. And the first of them is to arrange time for yourself to give thanks. Scope out some time to give thanks. Remember the Grinch story that Tim showed us earlier? Even after the Grinch had stolen all the presents from Whoville, they were still down there singing in a nice little circle, you know, because they had decided, you know, I guess I'm still have enough to be thankful for even without the presents. Surprised the Grinch, but it took time for them to do that. They were rejoicing in this together, and it always takes time to give thanks or to be thankful. They were an example of it. You know, one of the things we lose in the fast-paced life that we live in is a contemplative spirit. We tend to think that life has to go at the pace of a 4G technology, you know? We kind of attach a premium to it sometimes, and so it's an odd thing for us to slow down enough even to think. We're just go, go, go. You know, and we kind of confuse ourselves sometimes to think that we are just like our phones, you know? We can multitask, you know? Because we are in the 21st century now, and we are 4G people. We lose something there. We lose a contemplative spirit. It takes time to reflect and to truly be grateful. I want to give you a little test here. Do you consider yourself a thankful person? You don't have to answer it out loud, but do you consider yourself a thankful person? Does it just ooze from your face and from your heart? You know, thankful, thankful, thankful. If you are, I would guess it's because you have reviewed the things that you're thankful for. If you're not, Do you really think that you, a created being, should tell your creator what you need in order to be happy? I mean, it's, really? No, I mean, logically, we understand we have things that we could be thankful for. My point is that the pace of life can train us away from a contemplative spirit. And without a time to think through God's blessings toward us, very few of us will be thankful. Thankful people are thankful people because they give thanks. It doesn't work any other way. If you're not reviewing it, you won't be thankful. It takes time to do it. King David seemed to have this understanding. In the Psalms, we read that David had some self-talk before the Lord in Psalm 103, one of the very revealing psalms about what was going on in David's heart. He said to his soul, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." He was saying to his soul, kind of get with the program. This life is about returning thanks. Get with the program, soul, David said. He is described, you know, as the man after God's own heart. And one thing I think I have seen through the Psalms, you know, he wrote quite a few of them that are in the book of Psalms. And one thing I think characterizes David more than any other psalmist, for sure, is the amount of time that David spent reflecting on the loving kindness of God. He would say to God, "God, bless me because you are good. Bless me according to your loving kindness, not according to my character. Bless me according to your character." He became a man after God's own heart. I think we can too. We've been given much. We can focus on what he has given us, and it would be a great stress reliever for us. Furthermore, in the creation week, I think we see a cue there that we were supposed to pick up. Here, God created things for 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, but on that day also, he looked over everything that he had made, and he said, "It's very good." And it was very good. Sin hadn't even entered yet. I think it would be a good idea for us periodically to reflect on what is very good in our lives and in the lives of others. I have done this numerous times, taken longer times. It's been a great blessing to my soul. It changed me. It changed my understanding of my relationship with God. One time, Patty and I were coming, in fact, it was just this couple months ago when we went to that couples thingy, and on the way home, somehow, I just started telling Patty a lot of things that I enjoyed from my childhood. I could have talked for days, honestly, and my childhood was anything but easy. I'm not saying it was all fun, but in the midst of all of that, there was a lot I really enjoyed. I was amazed. I didn't realize I had it so good. That's what happens. You realize from whom they come. Every good thing given has come from above. God intended them to be for your good. And when you give thanks, you reconnect with that. The Psalms say it this way: it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 92, verse 1. It's good. It's good for you to give thanks to the Lord. Yesterday I read this. It's one of the longer psalms, Psalm 109. And in this psalm, David was having trouble because he had treated some people kindly and they returned evil. And it made him mad. And, you know, in the psalms, David sort of lets God vent on his foes. Jesus told us a little different way to live, you know, to love our enemies. But in the Old Testament, before the New Covenant, before grace and truth were fully revealed, the justice of God seems to be revealed through David. And that's what was going on in this case. A lot of bad things had happened, and so David said, do this to him, and do this to him, and do this to him, and do this to him. This is the psalm from which the quoted verses concerning Judas come from. Let his house be empty, and let another man take his place. But David said, as for me, deal with me, please, according to your loving kindness. And at the end of the psalm, this is what he said, with my mouth, I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, because he stands at the right hand of the needy. That's what he's like, to save them from those who judge his soul. Psalm 50 says this, he who gives thanks to God honors him. He who gives thanks honors God. If it all came from him, and Luke was mentioning this earlier in our worship time, in our singing time, that when we give thanks to him, we honor him. We can't give him anything else that he doesn't already have. We can give him the praise of our lips, and it honors him. It's good for us. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. I mean, it's the cover charge. It's the entrance fee. You can't even rightly approach God without thanksgiving. Honestly. Don't complain first. Thank first. Find out what it is. Make a list of what he has given. Hebrews 13 says, it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Grace is another word for gift. It's good. It's good. It's good for the heart. And this is an antidote that we need for stress. I'm just suggesting this is a good thing to do. My challenge to you today, relative to overcoming stress, is just to commit yourself to a block of time to do nothing but list things for which you should be thankful and to thank him for them. Make it significant, you know. Maybe even just decide not to go buy something and wrap something and deliver something. Instead, take that time just to reflect. I mean, you got to find time someplace. That's what I'm saying here. We got to find time someplace. So you're going to have to exchange something. Just block out a period of time. If you're a novice at this, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. If you've done this before and you know how good it is and you kind of know how this goes in 15 minutes, just make it significant. Let it be part of your preparation for the Christmas season. Last week, we had a Christmas celebration with our kids in Ames. And a few of us watched a movie. I really liked it, The Cinderella Man. Some of you know what that's about. It's a true story, and I always like the true stories, of James Braddock, who lived through the Depression. It's a terrible time. Terrible time to have to live through. And they were poor. And he was a boxer and had been decommissioned from boxing for one bad fight that he had, but he determined that he was going to box and see if he could get some income for his family. Well, he won a big fight. And what encourages me about this man is that what he did with his winnings was to buy a home that he and his wife lived in for the rest of their lives. The income that he had did not turn him into some monster of, like it does for many athletes these days who make many, 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 many millions. Most of them go broke. Did you know that? Most of them look at it as something. Tim sent me a link here a week ago of 12 people who have won the lottery big time. Every single one of them went broke a few months or a few years later because they don't know how to manage it and they don't know how to manage the expectations that come with it. This man did. How to manage it is to be thankful. It was C.H. Spurgeon who said, you tell me that you'd be happy if you had just a little bit more. He says, you make a mistake. If you're not content with what you have, you won't be happy if it's doubled. This is true. We need to take time for gratitude. You know, it's possible that you're not thankful because you haven't allowed time for it. Thankfulness is more often a decision of the will than it is a condition of circumstances. Sometimes we rob ourselves of a thankful spirit by not allowing time to consider things we ought to be thankful for. Sometimes there's another problem that comes with this, and it's idolatry. And the Lord is removed from his throne simply because we didn't put him back up there by giving him proper honor and thanks. And so I just want to urge us in this to block out some time for giving thanks this Christmas season. If we're serious about overcoming stress, this is one thing we can do. We can do this. Every one of us has things to be thankful for. It works. I'm encouraging us in this. Here's another stress reliever. Another of them, and Tim sort of alluded to this in his overview of the time. Focus on a few people. Just a few people. Proverbs says a man of many friends comes to ruin. If your eyes are too big, you can ruin yourself. You know, the clearest example that I think of with this is folks that carry on a social life at the bar. They go there expecting to keep up on all their friends, but there's so many friends, nobody's a deep friend. It'd be better to have a few friends. You know, we can get distracted by the crowds. We can get carried away by the notion that we have to make a contribution to everyone and to everything, to give a gift to everyone. It's expected. No, not necessarily. This is what God's expectation of you is. In 2 Corinthians 8, he says, if the readiness is present, it's acceptable according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. God doesn't expect you to go out and buy a gift for everyone and go way beyond your budget in this. Tim spoke a couple of weeks ago and said that we need to simplify our gift giving, simplify our life by simplifying our gift giving and emphasize God's gift. Sometimes, and this is a real important point, sometimes the best gift you can give is your presence with interest in the one you're listening to. Best gift you can give costs nothing except a little pride, a little changing of your own self-thought and focusing on another person. Maybe there are going to be a lot of people at your Christmas gatherings, but realize that God is into divine appointments. He's into heart-to-heart discussions. I just encourage us to look for and pray for special one-on-one conversations in your gatherings. You're going to go to a big family gathering. Ask God to give you some person in that gathering that you can really relate to. Otherwise, you know, you leave and you're just exhausted. You just were there and there's so much stuff going on and people, and then you got to do this and you got to do that. But there's no value in it to it when you just have such light touches. Focus on a few people. If you can't build somebody up by your thoughtful attention, your gifts probably won't go very far either. It's okay to give gifts. Okay, no. We brought gifts to exchange this morning. That's great. But I don't have an angst to do it. I don't think we need to have an angst to put our gifts above our presence and our attention. Focus on a few. Beware of the Facebook monster that can cause you to have expectations that, you know, you're like God. You can touch the multitudes. Be careful. A man of many friends comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's what I'm indicating can be a stress reliever, to focus on those that you can encourage, who will be able to encourage someone else. Then we're really accomplishing something. And then there's value in my expenditures. I know I frazzled myself to get all this ready, but it was worth it because I got to talk to Jeff or whomever, you know. It makes it worth it. The more people you try to keep up consistently with, the more frustrated everybody will be. Moses discovered this when he was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. His father-in-law, Jethro, came and he said, "What are you doing? Here are people lined up for a mile to talk to you. You're going to wear yourself and you're going to wear them out." Better to focus on a few. Pray for divine appointments. That's what I'm suggesting here. So here's the action point. Pray for divine appointments over the course of this Christmas season. A few good heart-to-heart talks with a few people will make the busyness worthwhile and the stress manageable. Pray for that. Pray for divine appointments. A third stress reliever that I thought of for us this morning and for this Christmas season is to pursue peace with God. Pursue peace with God. If you haven't made peace with God yet, you should this Christmas season. He wants you to. What are you waiting for? Make peace with God. Let some of us help you if you are in that spot here this morning. But most of us here have already been reconciled with God, and we know we have peace with God. Positionally, we know it. But then there comes the practical side of things, and if we're honest, all of us have stressors. All of us have a little bit of panic here and there. I do often. Did you know that the scriptures say those who love the law of God have great peace? Psalm 119 says, those who love the word of God have great peace. I would encourage us this Christmas season to carve out a little bit more time in the word of God. It will give you a perspective that is appropriate to the life that we're living. Be filled with the word. Give yourself extra time in it. You know, this is one of the things that Colossians and Ephesians talks about when it talks about being filled with the Spirit, is being filled with the word of God. Give yourself time for that. You say, I don't have any time. Well, how about exchanging again? Exchanging one of the things that you would have done in all your busyness and instead getting in the word. Do you know that Jesus came to give you peace? He came to give you peace. The angels announced on the night of his birth that he came so that we would have peace among those with whom he is pleased, to give us peace with one another. But if we are still in turmoil in some aspects of our life towards him, we won't be able to extend peace toward others. In John 14, this is on the last night that Jesus had with his guys. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, which means I'm not promising you a tranquil life. I'm a little bit more realistic than that. The world has been cursed, and there are going to be problems. In fact, in John 16, Jesus said it this way, these things I have spoken to you, and these things relates to everything that he talked about that night. It was quite an evening, that last Passover night that he had. Now remember that when Jesus said this, he knew he was going to be tortured. And he said to his disciples, peace I give to you, not as the world gives. And in John 16, he said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. If we don't associate ourselves with the one who overcame this world, we will have stress that we can't deal with. The only way to deal with stress is to have a perspective that goes beyond this life. This life, Jesus guaranteed in John 16, we will have tribulation. When you have tribulation, it's an overload. We need a perspective that goes beyond this life. The Apostle Paul said the same thing when he wrote the Corinthians, their second letter. He said, I thought I was going to die. It was really hard. And you read on a little ways, and he said in chapter 4, this is why we don't lose heart. This is how I can keep going. This is how I overcome stress. While the outer man is decaying, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day, while I look not at the things that I see, but at the things which are not seen. Where do you find those things? Well, you'll find them in the Word of God. The things that are not seen, the truths that pass this life. The peace that passes understanding also passes the stress of this life. We have to have an eternal perspective in order to overcome stress. This is a good season for that, because the God baby came for this cause. We celebrate his birth, but we understand that he was the one that overcame at the end of his life. Jesus encourages us to abide in him the way a branch abides on a vine, in complete trust and cooperation. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Have your own private Christmas with God. Just you and Jesus. Give him yourself. He gave you all the time that you've lived so far. Just take a little bit of that time and give it back to him. Have yourself a very Merry Christmas, as the song says, with Jesus. Do it with him. Maybe this is something you can do when you're taking time to give thanks. Jesus offered peace to his disciples many times. The New Testament commands our involvement in peace 88 times. And a lot of those times are peace that we would extend to one another. My point, though, is that it's very difficult to be at peace with one another because we all have our goofinesses, you know. We stick out here and there. We have oddities about us that are hard to get along with. All of us do. And if I'm going to have peace with you, if you're going to have peace with me, you must have peace with God. You must have his perspective. Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with... The verse I was thinking of is, let the peace of Christ act as a judge in your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace that you have with him, that you know you're okay with him, that he has spoken to you freshly right to the very circumstances you're in right now, and he's touched it, and he said, there is reward for this. You can endure it, or whatever he needs to say. He's touched your heart. He's healed you. Let the peace of Christ rule in your relationships with one another. Romans 12 says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. This is a great stress reliever to determine ahead of time to be at peace with one another. In Ephesians 4, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you guys to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. So I'm urging us this season to have yourself a very merry private Christmas with Jesus and review the peace that you have that passes all comprehension, and then to share it. And to be at peace with everyone, as much as it depends on you, to be at peace with one another. I think, it's hard to be stressed. It's hard to be overcome with stress when you're basically happy. They don't mix very well. It's like oil and water. They just don't mix very well. So this morning, I just leave us with this stress reliever recipe for Christmas. Practice being thankful. Pray for those divine appointments. Focus on a few people. And let the first gift you give to each other be the gift of peace. Because of the peace you have with God through the God baby. Give gifts as you're prompted, if you can afford them. But make sure that you give peace to each other. Let's pray. God, we thank you. All of us would say, I think all of us here would say, we know that you are the stress reliever. We know that you overcame the world. But we earnestly want to experience this overcoming emotion. We want to experience this overcoming spirit. We want to experience a life that, though we still are busy and though we still have stress, we understand it's worth it. We understand that you want to speak into our life. And So I just ask you to make this happen for us. You said to ask, and we'll receive. And so we ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.